And we'll look at Second Corinthians, that's right, I'm looking at first. Chapter 5, Second Corinthians chapter 5. It says here, in verse 9 and 10, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done. Not just what he intends to do, but what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, on one area we look at the heart, but there are a lot of people who have good intentions, intend to do this, intend to do that, but never actually do it. God is not going to reward us based on intentions. His reward is based on what actually is done. A lot of people say and don't do. As a minister, you come across many people. In the early days of the ministry, you get a lot of people who come with fat promises. One person came to me one day and said, we're going to buy a bus for a church. You must know how much a bus costs. It costs about $100,000. And I say, really? He says, yes. And so I say, all right, I'll give you all the information. So I rang out one of the elders and say, this guy here who offered to buy a bus, okay, can you find out all details? So give it to that guy and let the guy choose. He passed all the information to the guy and the guy ran away. He thought that a bus cost $10,000. He knoweth not what he saith. And he's a funny kind of guy. When he was interested in a girl, came to this girl. How I found out was this girl came to me. Came to this girl and said, I don't think it was Valentine's Day, it was some other day. Came to this girl and said, I'm in love with you. I give you a car. I said, the girl came to me and said, this guy is one of the special people whom you can classify as an authentic cook. K-O-O-K. Oddball. Says, nobody should approach a girl on the first date and say, I'm going to give you a car. And sisters in the Lord, if you are on a date with a brother who does that, you know, first thing to do is walk out. And so that is why my book, How to Find a Life Partner, better come out fast. Oh Lord, pray for my artists. Because I see too many eager young people making mistakes. And there was one of these other guys who, you know, was interested in a girl, and it must have been someday close to Valentine's Day, and she was one of the singers, and so I found out because she told me, and she says, what should I do? I said, what happened? She said, this strange boy, you know the one that sits three rows behind me? Yes. He gave me a watch. And I said, uh-oh, you know, have you talked with him before? No, never. And her father was one of the leaders, so I passed it back to the father. And the father pulled that boy aside one day, gave him good fatherly advice. And I told the leader, I said, advise him how to approach girls too. Even if really that sister likes him, that was too bold an approach. Be more graceful. Ladies like graceful men. It's funny, they like strong leaders of strong leadership of a man, but they must be gentle, which is a very hard combination. When you're strong, you're rough. Be gracious. And so here in 2 Corinthians 5, we realize that the works are important. Though the heart is correct, it's important
that what we do be correct. Sometimes it's too much or too little. It must be exactly what the Lord commands. Saul's mistake, King Saul in the Old Testament, was he overstepped his authority. He went into areas he should not enter into. And just because he was a king, he got himself into hot soup, got himself into problems. And we need to know our jurisdiction. Long, long ago, which was not that long, it's about 10 years ago. Praise God. It was the in thing for every church, not over this area because it was not possible, but in America, it was an in thing for every church to get on satellite and on TV. And every church was jumping into it. In the next 3 years, half of them dropped out because they couldn't make the payments or they bankrupt. They jumped into something because it was a nice thing to do. Remember, the body of Christ is in the world but not of the world. That means there will be some things that are trends, not movements. We want to be part of a movement, not part of a trend. Just because a top leader suddenly wears bell bottom, it doesn't mean bell bottoms are more anointed than small bottoms. Right? That is not a movement, that is a trend. Let's detect the difference between a trend and a movement of the Spirit. Some things in the body of Christ become quote unquote trendy. And we need to realize that those are not necessarily the Holy Spirit. Because human beings being the kind of nature that we are, that we continue with different trends and being in the world, you just make sure that those things don't overwhelm you, although you go ahead with it. We do live with those trends to a certain extent. I mean, like for example, I seldom see any preacher wearing bell bottoms today. But 15 years ago, I saw a lot. I mean, there goes on a big, big booming evangelist. He goes out with his bell bottoms. Looks more like Elvis Presley. Right? But after 5 years, I see all the preachers also keep up with the Joneses, in a way. So, long ago, when you watch preachers and see, when it's trendy for the thighs to grow big, everyone start growing bigger and bigger thighs. Until it looks like a napkin. Right? Then when the thighs grow small, they go small. Right? So, now the thighs are growing bigger again. Right? The trends will come and go. And who knows, you can see it's not so much here, but for many preachers, for many young people, pastors or young people, they think it's a trend, and they are men, but they keep a small little tail at the back. Mm-hmm. If they come and tell you, it was thus says the Holy Ghost, or an angel told them to do it, then put them among the special people who are worthy of the title of oddball. Because God never told them to do that. That was more a trend. Trends may be harmless. We are not saying that they're wrong. I mean, we all today wear shirts, trousers, and suits. And ladies wear dresses. But we still encourage cultural dresses without any problem too. But we need to differentiate between a move of the Holy Spirit and a trend. I mean, if the Holy Ghost comes, doesn't matter what you're dressed in, as long as it's decent. Right? Who knows, one day it may become trendy to wear your bathing suits to church. Right? But that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost revival, swimming revival. If the Holy Ghost comes, whatever we wear, as long as it's decent, whether you wear a sarong and preach, you will still have the same anointing. Hallelujah. It's nothing to do with trends. It has to do with the moving of the Holy Spirit. So we need to differentiate correctly what the Holy Spirit really wants us to do. And don't do something because it's the in thing to do. Do you know that now is the in thing for every church to have a Bible school? But God may not call every church to have a Bible school. It's important for us to know where to stop. Where not to go and into things that God never asked us to go. And it's the in thing today, because as travel becomes easier and cheaper, for any young minister or evangelist to want to establish themselves by traveling as much as possible. And so they could advertise, I have been ministering to 50 countries. But in 49 of them, they ministered to 5 people in a home group. Right, so they can put 50 countries. I mean, I have not even, I have been to less than 10 countries. I think I only can count it on one finger. One hand. One finger, right? I've got my maths mixed up. I think I've been to only about 5. And I'm not interested in trying to keep the score to 100. I mean, if all God sends me is to one country, I'm happy. We need to understand the difference between trends and movement. Don't do something just because it's the in thing. Because one day when we reach heaven, there will be no reward. We will find it is an effort that sucks the true energy to do things from God. We become exhausted. We become depleted. We spread ourselves so thin, we got no strength to really do what God called us to do. That is why a lot of ministers die or burn out. Or they find they don't have the energy to do what God called them to do. It's because they're spreading themselves too thin. It may be the in thing for praise and worship to do certain things. We had to watch it. Did the Lord ask us to do it? Just like in Asia here, we started the writing books. And I wrote books because the Holy Spirit told me to write. But there are some people who may never write any book. And if they are writing a book just because they feel that that will help to spread their ministry or gain an income, they will find out it's not true. You could sit down and calculate how much you can earn per book and count by 5,000 and 10,000. Surprise, surprise. It takes 2 years to sell all those things. And you spread it over those 2 years and you got your office expenses and your employees' expenses to pay. You find that you did not see any profit. All you saw was mainly the ministry going out. But at the same time, if it's just writing a book so that you say, oh, you know, now I got something to share. Some people are not called to write books. We got to face it. Jesus never wrote a book. Paul wrote more books than him. But yet his ministry go on. Because I pick up a lot of locals try to write books. But to write a book, number one, you must have something to say. If you don't have something to say that somebody else has already said, what difference? If your book is exactly like the other book, then the only difference is whether people want to buy that cover or this cover. You must have something to say. And then the books you write, number two, must reflect the kind of call you have. Don't try to imitate another person. When recently I pick up a book, and initially when people write books, they just send me a free copy, so I look. And sometimes they ask, sometimes they don't ask for what contributions to help them along. But I pick up one and said, I saw about 3 or 4 gross doctrinal errors. And I said, how can this be in this book? Don't this person know? But I told my wife, I said, look, this verse is misquoted here. This is wrong. Now, I'm not bothered about grammar because my own grammar is not perfect. But I'm bothered when it comes to doctrines and things that are out of context that may mislead. And so as I observe, that person is called to be an evangelist. He tried to write a book to teach, but what he should do is to share his experiences. He should put all his... Whereas my books have very little experience put inside. It's more filled with quotations and teaching line upon line because I'm writing it from as a teacher. But if another person writes, don't copy, write your style. Learn to follow the Spirit. And if they write, just You know, don't say, if someone says, hey, your book is not like Peter Tan, doesn't matter. If God called you as an evangelist, write a book about your evangelistic experience.